All right, the Lord laid on my heart in the last month talking about lost things, okay? So lost things and how it's so important it is to find things. And we're going to look today about two boys that were lost in sin. And we know that one boy repented and was redeemed, and the jury's still out on the second son. But even bigger than the story of the sons is the actions of the father and how important it is we see, you know, that the father's response was just amazing to these two boys. And in fact, it was hard to believe that, you know, many still have that problem today of understanding, you know, the father. Are you still up there, Caleb? Could you turn on the sanctuary 2x4 lights? The second switch over on the bottom. All right, thank you. That helps me see better up here, amen. All right, it's all about, if I can't see, I don't know what to do. No, just kidding. I suppose I'll just follow the Holy Ghost. Maybe that's what I need to do, just leave the lights off and go. But anyway, I'm gonna read Luke chapter 15, verses 11 to 32. It's a very long passage, so bear with me. But it has a lot of things in there that we need to see. Jesus was telling this parable, and he said, a man had two sons. The younger of them said to the father, Father, give me the share of my inheritance that falls to me. So he divided his wealth between them. So he split it up between the two. And not many days later, the younger son gathered everything together and went on a journey into a distant country. And there he squandered his estate with loose living. Now when he had spent everything, a severe famine occurred in that country, and he began to be impoverished. So he went and hired himself to one of the citizens of that country, and he sent him out to the field to feed the swine. And he would have gladly filled his stomach with the pods that the swine were eating, but no one was giving anything to him to eat. But when he came to his senses, he said, how many of my father's hired men have more than enough bread, and I'm dying here with hunger? I will get up, go to my father, and I will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me as one of the hired men. So he got up and came to his father. But while he was still a far way off, a long way off, his father saw him and felt compassion for him, and he ran and embraced him and kissed him. And the son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight. I am no longer worthy to be your son. But the father said to his slaves, now see where the father cut him off right there? He cut him off before he could finish the sentence and turned the whole situation around. So the father said to the slaves, I lost my spot here. Here we go. Quickly bring out the best robe and put it on for him, and put a ring on his hand and sandals on his feet, and bring in the fattened calf and kill it, and let us celebrate. For the son of mine which was dead has come to life again. He was lost and now he's found. And they began to celebrate. Now the older son was in the field. And when he came and approached the house, he heard all the music and dancing. And he summoned one of the servants and began inquiring what these things could be. And he said to him, your brother has come, and your father has killed the fatted calf, and because he has received him back safe and sound. But he became angry and was not willing to go in. And the father came out and began pleading with him. But he answered and said to the father, look, for so many years I have been serving you and have never neglected a command of yours. And yet you have never given me a young goat so that I might celebrate with my friends. But when the son of yours have come who has devoured your wealth with prostitutes, you killed the fatted calf for him. And he said to him, son, you have always been with me and all that is mine is yours. I know that was a mouthful, but you know, this story, Jesus wanted us to understand the concept. And what I'm going to see today is that sometimes, no matter where we're at in our walk with God, we can be one of these sons. Let's pray. Father God, we honor you. We thank you so much, Lord, for the power of your Spirit to be here today. I thank you for the stirring right now in each of our hearts that we want to draw close to you. You know, thank you what you've done so far, but Lord, we just want to press in for more and to receive everything that you have for us. Lord, I thank you for the gift you put in me. I use it for your glory. I pray for words that both pierce and penetrate to leave my lips and the gifts of the Spirit to be in operation in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, what we see from here is the idea of how do we reach a world that we no longer fit into? That's the main question that's been going in my mind for the last month. How can we as a church reach a world that hypothetically we don't fit into anymore? Because as a Christian, you know, we're in a different world system. But yet we have to go back and we try to rescue as many people as we can. We were rescued, right? Somebody reached out and rescued us. Some way, shape, or form, somebody reached out and rescued us. And we need to have the same, you know, attitude. Now, as we looked at this, we looked last week about the lost sheep. And then I skipped over the lost coins, but there's three parables in Luke 15 here that talked about lost things. And remember the audience, because if you remember the audience that Jesus is talking to, you can kind of see what it is he's trying to accomplish. He was talking to two different groups of people, you know, and the groups of people were, number one, we had the sinners and the tax gatherers. Remember, the tax gatherers were probably the most hated people to some degree because they worked for the Romans and they'd extort money, you know, from the people, and sometimes they would take more than they needed. And then secondly, you had the Pharisees and the scribes, which were, hypothetically, we would call them the religious people, the ones who were supposedly representing God at the time. So Jesus was trying to speak to these two, and what we see here with the tale of the two brothers is the idea that one was selfish and ungrateful, and the other one was self-righteous and unforgiving. And so here we see the picture of all of us really to some degree in time of our life, because there was times in our life when we were selfish and ungrateful. And there's times that we have come into the church and sometimes we can be self-righteous and unforgiving to people around us. I don't know, maybe it's just me, I don't know. But I know that sometimes we can develop that attitude, which is bad. So what I gather from this story is that both of them had resentment, and one, you know, manifested that resentment by outward actions with rebellion, but the other one did it with inward attitudes, and that's what Jesus always wanted to try to fix. He just didn't really deal with the outward actions, but he wanted to deal with the inward attitude, because the inward attitude makes the outward actions manifest. Okay, so now the only thing that these two had going for them was a loving Father, and that's all we got going for us, isn't it? We got a loving Father, a heavenly Father that loves us. And what I think is exciting about this is the fact that usually we pick on the religious people sometimes, but what we see here, the Father actually went out and tried to restore the religious person. Not too many times in the passage of Scripture do we see that, because Jesus is usually, you know, just laying them Pharisees out because, you know, of the bad press they're giving God. So I thought that was kind of interesting. So first we're going to look at the selfish son. And his idea is the same that we can sometimes have in life. You know, what's in it for me? You know, if we become self-centered and we just look at life along those lines. And what I think's ironic is that he couldn't even wait for his dad to die. I mean, I think that's pretty bold. You know, to go up to old dad and he's still evidently getting along pretty good, because later in the passage it says he ran to him. So dad wasn't ready to die yet, but here the son, he just couldn't wait to get his stuff. He just wanted it right now. And how this worked, as many of you know, that he was the youngest son, and he had an older brother. And so the oldest brother would get a double portion. So when dad split the money up, or the stuff, you know, the youngest son got one third, and the oldest son got two thirds. I'm an oldest son, you know what I'm saying? So I kind of like that system, but it didn't work that way for me. But anyway, you know, so the son wanted his stuff, and he wanted it now. Once he got his stuff, he wanted to get as far away from dad as possible. Have you ever wanted to do that in your life? Get as far away as you can as possible because you wanted to do your thing. So to me, it showed that he had resentment towards authority. You know, and resentment towards authority will get us in trouble. I mean, not all authority is perfect all the time, but God wants us to honor and respect authority. But yet he wanted to get as far away from dad that he could. And what I think he found out, the prodigal son found out that you can have plenty of friends as long as you have plenty of money. You know, and that's the way it is in the world system. You know, as long as you got money and you can pay and you can, you know, divvy out stuff and give this here. And, you know, I remember, you know, having, how many's had friends like that in your life? You know what I'm saying? As long as you had money, they were around. But when you ran out of money, they were gone. You know, and that's just the way the world is sometimes. You don't need to take it personally. I mean, just kind of learn from that and to be able to, you know, see through these things. Then what happened is the selfish son hit rock bottom, okay? He hit rock bottom. Ran out of money, and as fate would have it, there was a famine. Double whammy. Nothing. So he had to go get a terrible job. One of the jobs that the Jews would consider detestable because pigs were considered an unclean animal in many ways. And they couldn't eat them, but yet he had to go, and he had to go and find a job, and he went from being the party boy to slopping the pigs. Now, I don't know if anybody here, but I have slopped the pigs. When I was really small, probably 3 or 4 years old, my great-grandma had a slop bucket, and it was kept there in the kitchen. And then whatever food you didn't eat, or whatever, you know, potato peelings, all this stuff, went into the slop bucket. And then when the slop bucket started to stink a little bit, you take that bucket and you take it out and you dump it to the pigs. And it was kind of a, oh man, I'm just getting that. I can still remember one of those smells. you ever had that? Oh my gosh. I went down there for a minute, but you know, certain smells can get you, can't they? You know, and you know, so we'd slop the pigs and just think, you know, this party boy, this kid who had, you know, all that he had, you know, and then he wasted it. Now he was out there and he was feeding the pigs and he would have settled for what the pigs were eating. You know what I'm saying? I mean, you know, that's pretty rough. That's pretty rough in your life when you get down to that place in your life, because, you know, it just shows through this whole picture the idea of how God has given us a free will so that we can choose what we want to do with our life. God has given that to you. And the father let the son go. The father knew the son was probably not ready to handle money. You know, and sometimes we can see that. I know there's times in my life when I wanted to go out and do things and I maybe wasn't ready for it, but he wanted to live it up on his terms. And then, you know, inferring, you know, drinking and prostitutes. And he just wasted it, and that's what got him down to the place that he was. Because sometimes, just because we think we're ready, it doesn't mean we're always ready. And that's what we make sure that we, you know, young children or youth, make sure you listen to your parents. You know, let them train you in the things that you need to know for life so when you hit the road, you're ready to go. You know, this young boy was not ready. And he went out. And he got into a lot of trouble. Now, and while he was, you know, got in that situation, I've been down, but I've never been that far down. I don't know where I would, you know, kind of want to eat pig food, although I have tasted it a time or two when I was on the farm. I ain't going to lie to you. You know, it was pellets. It wasn't the slop. But I mean, you know, just to see what the pigs were eating. Maybe that's what happened to me. I don't know. But anyway, it's got some of that stuff in it, you know what I mean? Make them grow faster. It didn't work for me. I only made 5, 8, or 9. So evidently it don't work on humans. But anyway, you know you've made some bad choices along the way when pigs are eating better than you. And see, that's what happens to us when we choose to be the prodigal, when we choose to live the prodigal life. And what happens with sin, and I read this in one of the commentaries that I have, is that sin has a lot of broken promises. You know, it promises freedom, but it only brings slavery to our life, a slave to sin. It promises success, but it only brings failure. It promises life, but it only brings death. And it promises joy, but it only brings misery. And I think all of us would probably admit, if we had the chance and would be willing to speak openly. You know, sin was probably fun for a season, but in the end, it only brought death to our life. It brought separation. And that's what it does. Sin separates things. Sin separated the Son from the Father. Sin separates us from God. And it's important that we don't let that sin get in our way. Everybody has sinned. Everybody sins. But how we deal with that sins and what we need to understand to be able to deal with that in our life. We just can't let the devil, you know, beat us down. Because what happened is what we all need to do is it says the prodigal son came to his senses. He came to his senses. That means he had a come to Jesus moment. He finally figured out, and what happened, you know, technically timing is everything. You know, it was not until the prodigal was so far down was he willing to look up. And that's the way it is for us. I know in my life, you know, when I walked away from God, I knew God as a kid, prayed to him every night, you know, and didn't really serve him, but I did the way I could. But, you know, I went off into sin just like the prodigal. And I went my own way and I did my own thing. And you know, I found out that I was so far gone from God. I just didn't really, you know, sometimes maybe didn't know why I was in the place I was. But finally, there was a revelation. I've shared this many times. I hope you're not tired of it yet. But the revelation I got that brought me back to God was that I felt if God's real and the Bible's true, then that's what I need to do. It's just a simple thought. If I really believed that God was real, and I did, and I believed that the Bible was the Word of God and it was true, then I need to start doing that. So I went and bought a Bible. First Bible I ever owned. And I started to read it. And then after a while, I became born again. Was it instantaneous? But see, I was a prodigal. But I came to my senses. I knew that the things I was doing brought shame. Shame to my life. And if my family would have known, it would have brought shame to the family. And that's the way the prodigals are. We know better, but yet we don't do better. But see, he was willing to come back. And he had it all planned out. Because if we wake up one day and see that we're where we shouldn't be, make sure we get back to where we should be. And that's remember home. Remember where we can go. By remembering how good it was, he could believe how good it could be again. See, the prodigal learned the hard way the importance of things that money can't buy. Many people chase after money and after all these things, but you know, if you get right down to it, that's not the things that's going to last forever. And I can't stress this enough because it worked for me, is the importance of exposing your children to Jesus Christ and church at a young age. And keep them going. Get the Word of God in their life. Amen. Because, you know, I know hypothetically they shouldn't fall away, but sometimes we do. We make mistakes and we lose our way. But I'll tell you one thing that really made an impact on my life was the fact that I could remember where to go home. Amen. And I knew to go to Jesus. I still remember down in that little Sunday school room in La Villa, that little Methodist church, and the teacher there, and I thought he was God. I mean, I didn't know nothing, I guess. You know, because later when I knew him in life, he wasn't that godly. No, I'm just kidding. But when, you know, Sunday school teachers can be real too, you know what I mean? But, you know, I remember, I can still picture that in my mind, and I knew enough to where to go. And see, that's why it's important. You know, I've heard all kinds of dandy stories. You know, parents say, well, you know, I'm just going to let my kid choose for themselves. Well, that's not very good, is it? The Bible says a better millstone was cast around your neck, you know, than causing one of these little stumble. You know, you need to get them in church both Wednesday and Sunday. You know, expose them, you know, the most you can, and to get the Word of God into their life. Because there's a world out there that doesn't love us and it's going to try to destroy our life. Now, so what happened then is the idea of how the son came home. Remember I said the father cut him off mid-sentence, Then he said, let's have the party. Well, now we're going to pick up where the other brother was, the self-righteous son. Jesus was aiming right at the Pharisees and the scribes at this time. They were sitting there listening to all these stories. Jesus was just preaching. He preached as a man with authority. His words pierced them to the quick. And he was just trying to get him because the self-righteous son and what he had going on in his life was the idea of resentment. Resentment. Why do you say that? Well, he said, this son of yours instead of his brother. Evidently, I would imagine there was probably some sibling rivalry out in the field. You got one brother that's a workaholic, you know, that's very responsible. And if you tell him to do something, he'll just get her done. Then you got this other one just kind of lollygags and just kind of goofs off all the time. So them two probably don't get along when they work together. And so when he came home, he could not believe it. The father threw a party. Now think about this. The children probably never earned a lot of that money. I mean, they helped build the family farm, I'm sure. But see, this was the father's money that he'd worked years to build up this wealth. And he gave a third of what he'd worked for his whole life and gave it to a boy. And in a matter of a short time, it was gone. Poof. Just gone. I don't know about you, but would you have said at least one, I told you so? You know what I mean? I mean, how many times we've done that? You know what I'm saying? You know, and just amazing. But the father never even looked at it that way. And so what happened is that the idea that the older son, you know, he was all play and no, or all work and no play, and then the other one was all play and no work. So he chose to stay out in the field and kind of have a pity party and, you know, pouting and everything. And the father, remember, in the earliest of the story, the father had divided the wealth, okay? So what does that mean to you? It means that the younger son got his third and the older son got his two-thirds. But then the older son, he kind of threw a fit, saying, well, you never even, all the while it was his. See, the father had given it to him. But he just didn't know what he didn't know how to receive. And see, that's where a lot of Christians are. They don't know how to receive from the Father. The things that the Father has given us freely. The Father says, hey, I'll give you, here's your two-thirds, here's everything. What's the oldest son do? Goes back to the field. I gotta work. And see, that's where a lot of Christians are. Jesus says, by grace you're saved through faith. What do? Oh, we gotta go work, we gotta change this, we gotta fix that. And see, we miss out. When we try to think it's all about, you know, works righteousness and all these things that we do, because what happened is that we need to learn how to receive things from the Father. And some things that he didn't understand is that he didn't know his position. And we need to remember our position in Christ. As the Father wouldn't let the prodigal son, said he was about ready to say, I'll become your slave. Father cut him off. Boom. Nope. You're not my slave, you're my son. You're my son. Even though you've done all these terrible things, you know, in his mind, he could not believe it. Just a little previous to this, he was wanting pig food and didn't have it. Now all of a sudden, his father, I mean, just amazing, this older man, and in this culture, it was unreal. That, you know, the patriarch, you come to him, but the father ran to his son, ran to him. When he seen him from a far way off, and I'm sure he just didn't look quite the same. He probably hadn't eaten in a while. He's probably all skinnied up and looked haggard and filthy, dirty clothes. I mean, working with the pigs. But his father could still recognize him. And that's what we need to understand. No matter how far gone we get or how many mistakes we make in life, that the father can still recognize us and he'll run to us because he wants to bring us in, back into the family of God. See, the older son didn't know also the love of the father. And, you know, that's something that I maybe personally never grasped myself when I first came into the kingdom, because I didn't really understand that kind of love. You know, it would touch me every now and then, but it was hard for me just to grasp a hold of the kind of love that God has for us. And the idea that, you know, how I need to receive that. So we want to make sure that we don't be like the older brother if we're in the church. Have that kind of resentment or you know, I've had people witnessing to them a while back. You know, I was talking to them and, you know, they call themselves a Christian. They may or may not be. I don't know. That's a God question, you know what I'm saying, sometimes. But, you know, they were upset that somebody could actually come into the kingdom of God. They've lived like a sinner their whole life, and then on their deathbed, they confess Jesus Christ. And that torqued them off to no end. And I'd listen to them there, and I'd go, you're looking at it all wrong. You're looking at what, you know, we need to see it as what they're missing out on. We have access to the Father now. We don't have to be looking over our shoulder, worrying about sin catching us anymore. And see, the church, we need to wake up to these things. See, religion is holding someone else to an impossible standard that we ourselves can no longer live by. And we've got to make sure that we don't have that. So lastly, I want to get to the loving Father. The loving Father. We had the two sons and now the loving Father. Let's see, you know, compare the reaction of the father to the oldest son. You know, the oldest son, you know, he stayed away. The father went, like I said, embraced. And what's sometimes hard for us to grasp a hold of. Now, I believe in stewardship. I'm very frugal and I'm a steward. But what's important about this story, even though the son had wasted 33 1/3% of the family's fortune, the father said the son is more important than the money. You know what I mean? People are more important than things. And to get that concept down in our heart, that we understand, you know, the love that God has for us, because, you know, if we really think about it, it's just stuff, right? I know we got to have enough stuff to get to the end, right? I mean, that's just the way it is. You don't want to run out before you die, but it's just stuff. You can't take it with you. You can just only leave it behind. And as a father and maybe a grandfather, you want to try to leave some stuff, right, to your children or children's children. But, you know, it's just really stuff. And when we look and weigh out the balance of being able to win somebody to Christ or, you know, what it's just stuff, you know, we need to make sure that we side on the side of the people. Now, what we fail to realize too, I'm just going to bring a little testament here, is that the father had every right to stone the son. The Bible says in the Old Testament that if you have a rebellious son, take him out and stone him to death. God just wanted to purge that kind of people, you know, from the children of Israel. But instead of having a funeral, the father had a feast. Amen?
Amen.
You know, God ain't going to just kick us to the side, but he wants to have that feast, so amen. So the prodigal was willing to settle for slavery, but the father restored him to sonship. You know, I've watched this happen where people maybe leave and they go out into the world and they get broken and chewed up and beat up and then they come back in. But it's hard for them to understand the concept that, you know, when you come back in, you're still sonship. You don't have to work your way back in. You don't have to do, you know, a few, I about said some religious term there that might torque some people off. But, you know, you don't have to do these acts of contrition, you know, to work back in. You know, when you repent, when you come to your sentence, when you ask the blood of Jesus to wash you, you're clean. Simple as that. And that's how we need to look at other people too. Because I'm probably preaching to more Christians right now than I am sinners. Amen? So that's how we need to view these people. You know, that God saved us, God can restore us, God restore them and bring them back into the family of God. So the father loved the both sons. He was looking for one way far away and he went out to one and got the other one to come home, the pleading to come in. So we must learn the foolishness of sin and the faithfulness of God. You know, sin is foolishness. And God is faithful. And when we repent, we change our path. And then we change our trajectory. Repentance is probably one of the most powerful tools that we have at our disposal. Because with that, it's a game changer, isn't it? It changes everything. Repentance changes everything. You know, maybe, you know, you've had trouble with somebody at work, or maybe the Mr. and Mrs. isn't getting along, or whatever the case may be, and, you know, there's some things that have to happen. Sometimes just repenting will straighten everything out. Not all the time, it's up to the other person too, but, you know, that's sometimes just what we need to do. Now, the prodigal son left home, found misery, and when he came home, he found mercy. Mercy's where it's at. That's what we need to do. So we need to make sure that we make room in the table for the prodigals. And the father would see him a long way off, and we need to be looking too. Restitution, I'm kind of wrapping up here a little bit. We have to do some other things here. But, you know, restitution is so important because we live in a disposable society. And so people, like I said last week, I think it's so easy to write them off. And remember, the father wanted to restore both sons, so no matter where you're at in your sin. Because it's not how good we can be, but how good God is. Now I want to close with this thought, a couple. Our goal is to be like the father and leave the door open and have plenty of room, plenty of chairs set up. But I want us to think about this. My goal for our church here is for sinners to feel welcome, but not to feel too comfortable. But then I don't want any of us to feel too comfortable. Because when we get too comfortable, we don't do the things of Jesus. Amen? Amen. So, as we look at this special time of year for fishing, fishers of men, reaching people, people that don't think about Jesus, start thinking about him this time. Look for opportunities. Pray to God for opportunities to be able to share your faith. As I always say, you don't have to know the whole Bible, you just got to know Jesus.
That's right.
Just tell about somebody you know.
Amen.
Right?
Amen.
Let's pray.